2:30 to 4 Monday to Friday. It is the Blitz. Mitch Widmeyer here with you on AM 1450 KATE. Going to the phone lines, always enjoy when we have our next guest on every week. It is Jim Suhan of the Star Tribune, has his own podcast network. Find that at MNSPN.com. This weekly segment with Jim, always brought to you by Greenlee Golf. Jim, thank you for the time as always. It's appreciated. Vikings training camp is well underway. I saw you wrote an article, I think it was over a week ago, and you believe there's no reason the Vikings shouldn't think they can be a playoff team this year, correct?
Yeah, I mean, now, there are variables there. Obviously, they got to be somewhat healthy. They can't have their offensive line completely implode like last year. My point was, I sense so many, you know, so many Viking fans are fatalists, and they look back and say, okay, team collapsed. They lost 8 of the last 11 games. They blew the season. They don't have Adrian Peterson anymore. And I think a lot of Viking fans still aren't sold on Bradford either, and Bridgewater's in back. I see a lot of people who are just kind of besieged by the perceived negatives. I do look at it differently. To me, this is a very good team. They got destroyed by injuries. And if you take any team in the NFL, including the Patriots, and wipe out an entire position group, they're just not going to be that good. It's the way it is. I think that team last year with decent, just barely decent offensive line play would have won 10 or 11 games, would have gone to the playoffs, and might have been a tough out for somebody. Now, of course, I'm saying this. I wrote that before Riley Reiff got hurt, so that does make me nervous. I think they'll be tremendously better at running back just because of Dalvin Cook. I think if they're somewhat healthy on the offensive line, it's not going to be a great offensive line, but if it's anywhere near competent, it's a major upgrade. You have Thielen as a starter for the entire season, and I think the defense is a really good defense that just got worn down last year. Now you're going to have Daniel Hunter as a starter, which upgrades an already good pass rush. I think this is a 10 or 11 win team unless crazy stuff happens like Riley Reiff not being able to play.
One of those other variables certainly included in the discussion as part of the dialogue has to be the NFC as a conference as a whole. How loaded do you view the NFC heading into this year? Because you got Green Bay, Seattle, Atlanta, Dallas. You wonder maybe second-year slumps perhaps with Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott. The Giants seem to be on the rise and getting better. All of those were playoff teams last year. Again, outside of major injuries, it's hard for me to envision any of them not being at least right in position to be a playoff team again this year.
I actually, I will differ with you there. So often we agree. I don't see many great teams. I could see the Cowboys falling off. I don't think it's a particularly well-run organization. That organization does not inspire confidence in me. I thought Arizona was a disappointment last year, and they're still kind of depending on Carson Palmer at a very advanced age. The Giants don't scare me. The Packers, I think the Packers, to me, have slipped a little bit, and they're held up by the fact that they have one of the best quarterbacks of his generation in Aaron Rodgers and some good receivers. I don't think it's a great team. I think it's a great quarterback surrounded by an average team. Seattle, I think, is in decline. So I think, and one of the reasons I thought the Vikings last year were going to be really dangerous is I thought they were becoming a very good team in a conference without great teams. And I could see that being the case this year.
Jim Suhan, our guest this afternoon on the Blitz. Find his work, the Star Tribune, own podcast network. That is at MNSPN.com. This is always brought to you by Greenlee Golf. There's been a couple of dudes, Jim, on the offense for the Vikings that have stood out so far at training camp, according to those in attendance. You included have been in Mankato, and I wanted to start with Michael Floyd. How good has he looked, and have the Vikings gone to a spot where they're almost thinking like, okay, we're glad we stuck by him through all the fuzzy area in the offseason since we signed him, but we may now actually miss him a good amount in the first four games that he's suspended for?
Yes. Well, the big development at wide receiver has been Laquon Treadwell. Didn't really do much to impress anybody, and then he got hurt in a fight with Anton Exum. This was supposed to be his breakthrough camp, and he has not broken through. And in conjunction with that, Floyd has looked like their best receiver. So that is a very interesting development, and I think they are going to miss Floyd the first four games, and now they really need him to stay clean and come back and help them out, unless his Treadwell has just been a disappointment.
those first four games that Michael Floyd will miss due to the suspension, you brought up the name Laquon Treadwell, so let's hit on it. How big will they be for him, for Laquon Treadwell, as an audition for him, so to speak, to show that last year is behind him, he can be a guy on this offense? You mentioned the struggles at training camp, but no doubt he'll at least get opportunities in those first four games with the absence of Floyd, correct?
Yeah, well, he should. I mean, let's put it this way. If he's not their third receiver for the first four games, then something is seriously wrong. Because he really doesn't have any competition for that right now. You know, Jarius Wright, I've always viewed Jarius Wright as a nice, you know, complimentary, reliable player. It's obvious that this current regime just doesn't value him at all. I mean, they didn't play him even when they had opportunities last year. I think if Treadwell had a good camp, they'd trade Jarius Wright for a seventh-round draft pick if they could get it. So it's Treadwell's job. And if he's not on the field, it means they're really down on him. And, you know, he should be using training camp and the first four games to establish himself as a guy who can't be moved out of the lineup. And that would make Michael Floyd kind of a fourth receiver and specialty receiver. But that's not really happening right now.
Jim Suhan, our guest this afternoon on the Blitz, brought to you by Greenlee Golf. You mentioned a few minutes ago to you the Vikings maybe getting tremendously better, I think is how you worded it, at running back because of Dalvin Cook. He's the other name I wanted to put light to because he's been getting a lot of hype, and we know it's just training camp, we get it, but people are really raving about the rookie running back from Florida State.
And I think they should be. He looks really good. And he looks really good in these settings, and I think he's the kind of player who's better with pads on and in contact because he just seems to have a gear where I don't even think he has an impressive 40-yard dash time, but he's one of those guys who has football speed. He has speed that allows him to get through, you know, cracks in the offensive line. He has speed and quickness that, you know, a defender takes an angle and realizes, hold it, he's faster than that. I've just missed him. He reminds me of, going really old school, Lydell Mitchell from back in my days watching the Baltimore Colts years ago. Jerry Rice, guys like that who just, they play faster than they time. And, you know, now you're hearing coaches raving about his pass blocking, his pass catching, picking up the playbook. He is a nice marriage of skill and adaptability right now. And, you know, Tavius Murray hasn't been on the field. Jerick McKinnon's been hurt. I mean, it's really just Dalvin Cook's job.
Vikings coaches, you're leading right in my next point. I was going to bring up that I was seeing bites and quotes from some of the Vikings coaches who are impressed, and they said, I think they used the word trust. They trust Dalvin Cook already in pass protection, and we know Mike Zimmer's reluctancy at times to give rookie snaps from the get-go. He's not going to have any choice with Dalvin Cook.
No, and it's also a position where a rookie can just step in and just play. You know, so many other positions, they're intricate. You have to, you know, they rely on cohesion with other members of the unit, reading things. You know, running back is really kind of a see and go position. You know, Emmitt Smith held out, and he started late with the Cowboys, and bang, his first game, you could see he was ready. Adrian Peterson was ready to play, coming right out of Oklahoma. The good thing with the Vikings is the Dalvin Cook played in kind of a pro-style offense. So I just don't see any adaptability problems at that position for this player.
How antsy do you think Latavius Murray is getting? Because, I mean, he doesn't want to be forgotten about in all of this in the grand scheme of things, certainly.
Well, the interesting thing is maybe he's nervous, but he's not displaying that he's nervous. You know, he's basically been saying, it's just training camp. I'm going to ease my way back. And Zimmer has basically fired shots at him saying, that's not really the right approach here. I think Murray is missing. I don't think he's getting that he's basically had the job taken right out from under him, and he's going to have to fight for snaps. You know, I think a month ago the Vikings' plan would have been, okay, you know, give Cook a chance to win the job. Murray can be short yardage. Murray can be third down. Murray can be a guy who rests Cook. But, you know, Murray's got to do something to even win that role.
Perhaps the biggest issue for the Vikings last year, and you brought it up again a few minutes back, was the offensive line. And having a running back, like we mentioned, a rookie in Dalvin Cook, who's already viewed as reliable in pass protection, certainly helps things out, and it helps that situation. How comfortable, though, Jim, is the offensive line getting with one another? There's a couple of new faces, perhaps a position battle or a question as to where Pat Elflein ends up. How has that position group looked so far in Mankato?
That's where it's really hard to tell when you watch training camp. you know, you really need to see how they function in games, especially in games when they're facing a defense that actually game plan for them. It's just so hard to tell. The big concern is Riley Reiff having an injury. You know, they really need him. Listen, I'm not somebody who overrates training camp. I think we cover it like crazy just because it's happening, not because it's necessarily important. But this offensive line coming off the year it came off last year with two or three new members, you know, they desperately need to work together. And Reiff being hurt is a big problem. They really like Elflein, but you can tell just looking at him that he hasn't quite grown into his body yet. He needs to get bigger and stronger. He may not be ready yet. You know, Easton is kind of a stopgap. Berger should do okay at right guard if that's the way they go. But you know, if you have we saw last year, they didn't just have bad left tackle play. They had they had invisible left tackle play. I mean, there were people just running through whoever's playing left tackle to the quarterback unimpeded. They have to have at least decent play over there, and if Reiff's not healthy, that's a little worrisome.
Speaking of the word comfortability in the offensive line, trying to find that with one another with some of these new pieces that should be in place. Sam Bradford entering his second year with the Vikings. If I bring up that word again, comfortability, does Sam Bradford look like he has more control and he's maybe more at ease with what's going on because he was kind of just flung into it in week two last year for the Vikings?
Yeah, and Bradford, he's a really smart guy, and he has some experience, and experience in different offenses. He's worked with Shermer before, so I didn't think comfort was his problem last year. I thought the fact that he was getting hit in the face before he had a chance to throw was the problem. I was really impressed with him last year, and I was really impressed with him at training camp this year. He throws a beautiful deep ball. He's very smart. He gets rid of the ball quickly. And what really kind of surprised Vikings coaches and personnel last year after they saw Bradford in person in games was, you know, he's kind of a skinny guy. Now, he's not built like Brett Favre. And he had the reputation of being fragile. And I tell you what, he got beat up last year, and he just kept bouncing up, and he was willing to run with the ball when it was there. They were really impressed with his toughness. So I think he's having a really good camp.
Jim Suhan of the Star Tribune with us, has his own podcast network. You find that at MNSPN.com, brought to you by Greenlee Golf. Defensively, the Vikings have now locked up Everson Griffin and Xavier Rhodes for the long haul. Harrison Smith got his contract extension last year. Vikings are making sure they're getting their ducks in a row. Their keys on defense are with them. Who do you think could be next in line?
That's a good question. You know, Anthony Barr is a really interesting one because he did not play well last year, not up to his capabilities, and the coaches got on him, and he actually admitted this camp that he could have played harder. It's really hard to invest huge money in a guy if you don't feel like you get maximum effort. I mean, Everson Griffin had his problems coming out of college and as a young pro, but they have no doubt that he's a maximum effort player now. Obviously, Harrison Smith has always been. Obviously, Xavier Rhodes has always been that way. Anthony Barr has the talent to be a star in this league. He has the talent to make this defense really something special. But, man, you can't invest too much if you don't think you're going to get maximum effort at that position. And then Kendrick should obviously be the next in line, but he's a little bit behind, chronologically behind Barr.
If we play the tier game, what tier of cornerbacks to you is Xavier Rhodes currently kind of lumped in with, and could he project to be one of the best corners sometime soon in the next couple of years? Do you think he has that sort of ceiling?
I think he's a very good player. I'm not sure he's a great player. Right now I would put him in tier two, where I think everybody reserves tier one for, hey, this guy's going to go off the left side and nobody's going to catch a ball on the left side during this game. You know, I think that's what tier one is always reserved for, even if there aren't that many guys left. Because I think Sherman has slipped a little bit. You know, Peterson's very good. And Peterson might be the closest thing to that right now. As good as Rhodes is, I think he's a half step below that. And, you know, the good thing about Rhodes is he'll play the run. He's a big, strong, physical guy. He's willing to tackle. He's willing to hit. And not every good cornerback is of that ilk. So he's a very good all-around player. I just don't know if I can put him tier one where, you know, you put somebody like Deion Sanders if he was in the league.
We'll finish up with a couple of points. We referenced it earlier, the Laquon Treadwell, Anton Exum scrum from a couple of days ago. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Jim Suhan. Who is the one dude on the Vikings, the last guy on the team that you yourself would want to be in a 1v1 scrum with?
Ooh, let me think about that. I think I'd have to say Everson Griffin. He is a very strong, very powerful man, and he has a temper. I just don't know if I want to mess with that dude. In terms of just body type, Danielle Hunter is the most impressive physical specimen on the team and one of the most impressive physical specimens I've seen in a long time. But you want to combine, you know, again, power and the ability to get really angry at you, I would not want to mess with Everson Griffin.
We'll leave on this, go to the flip side. You don't even have to throw me a name, maybe just a position group. If you got to choose someone on the Vikings team that you got to be in a 1v1 scrum with, they say you have to be in a scrum and we'll let you choose your opponent. Are you looking towards a kicker or a punter perhaps?
I would take Kai Forbath. He's a kicker, and he's an old kicker, and he's kind of mellow. Yeah, and he's actually built pretty strong for a kicker. He's not like a skinny little soccer player type guy. But, yeah, I'll take the old kicker if I can.
Gave the direct name, too, Kai Forbath. Not holding back. I like it.
Yeah, and you know, he might not even be their kicker. He might win the job, but, you know, he's old. I always want to mess with the old guy.
There you have it. Find his work through the Star Tribune, his podcast network at MNSPN.com. Jim, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, Mitch.
We'll try to rip through some more Vikings sound bites from players and coaches at Vikings training camp in Mankato from Learfield Sports. We'll try to do that next to put a bow on the show right here on the Blitz.